We had a couple of funerals in the past couple days, one yesterday, one the day before. And funerals oftentimes will bring up questions in people's minds, questions that we've discussed before but are always good revisiting. Questions like, why is it that we die to begin with? Why is it that the people that we love have to die? Did God always intend this for us? What happens when we die? What is eternity like? Well, number one, why do we die? The answer is sin. We die because of original sin. Born under original sin, the human condition is that we find ourselves suffering, we find ourselves weak, and that eventually our bodies will succumb to death. It's not because of personal sin, so we can't say, well, if I do this or the other, God's going to smite me dead. That's not how it works. We die because of human sin, which covers all humanity. Now, our personal sins don't help anything, obviously. The idea is this. God does not want us to die forever. In fact, it was not his intention in the very beginning that we would die at all. Adam and Eve, God made in God's image and likeness, were meant to be immortal and eternal just as he is, enjoying paradise forever. But of course, sin entered the world, and with sin came death and all the things that accompany death. But God in his goodness would not allow death to have the last word. As Jesus says in the gospel, God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but instead might have eternal life. That's why Jesus came among us in the flesh, the sinless one, the Son of God, becomes the Son of Man, and in doing so accepts our sinfulness to take it to the cross, suffer, and die to give us new life. So that now, as St. Paul reminds us in baptism, all of us die a death to sin to rise in grace, to rise in new life. So while the body will indeed die, what makes us who we are because of what Christ has done lives. And with that, we're always to live in the presence of God as his sons and daughters. So what happens when we die? Well, the unnatural. And I say the unnatural because body and soul are meant to be together. But in death, the body and soul separate. The body is then buried, destined for resurrection. We as Christians treat the bodies of the dead with love and respect because in life, our bodies, as we know, are temples of the Holy Spirit, anointed by God to do good. And think about that, how we fold our hands in prayer, we bend our knees in prayer, we do good things but with our hands, offering good deeds to other people. We speak of the glories of God with our mouths. So yes, the body is a good thing and should be taken care of, but again, it will die and be buried reverently. To await resurrection, the Lord returns. What about the soul? Well, as St. Paul reminds us, it is destined for us to die only once, and after death to be judged. And by what are we going to be judged? Well, obviously, three things. Faith being one, our faith in God, our faith in Christ, our faith in what Christ has done for us, our hope. Have we put our hope and our trust in God and God alone and see him as our salvation? And finally, love, and primarily love. Jesus commands us that we are to love God with our whole being. Love God with your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, love your neighbor more than yourself. As St. Paul also tells us, none of us lives for himself. Everything Christ did was always for the Father and for you and me. And imitating Christ is the same thing, for God and for us, putting ourselves last. And so again, back to Paul, none of us lives for himself, and likewise, none of us dies for himself. When we live for the Lord, or at least we should, and when we die, we should be dying as his servants. And that's what God is looking for. Have we lived the full Christian life? Thinking with the mind of Christ, loving with the heart of Christ, and acting with the inspiration and an imitation of Christ. So what is eternity like? It's hard for us to understand eternity because we're finite beings. We're born in space and time. We know beginnings and ends. We don't know eternity. But I can tell you this much about the joys of heaven. Imagine for a moment when you think back to a time that you're the absolute happiest. You experienced something but pure joy, and you said to yourself at that time, I really wish this moment would never end. In heaven, it doesn't. In heaven, it's pure joy, pure ecstasy, pure and unadulterated and never-ending happiness. Hard for us to fathom in this world, which is what St. Paul says. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It hasn't even dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. Whatever joys we experience in this world can be multiplied thousands of times over and still not reach the full joy of being in the presence of God. I mean, just kind of think about that if you could. Being able to see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity as he is, to be in the presence of God forever, to be in the presence of the saints and the angels, to be with your loved ones, your friends and relatives who've gone on before you, where there is no boredom, there is no hunger, no thirst, there is no separation, no pain, none of these things we experience in this world, nothing but the pure joy that God promises. And here's the beautiful thing. It doesn't just begin when we die. Death in the body lifts the veil, but our life in Christ has already begun here in this world. To continue with the gospel, whoever believes in Christ will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he, she has separated themselves from God. But as long as we live in this world, preferring light to darkness, our works are good and we reflect the goodness of God. If, however, we prefer darkness to light, our works become evil and we cause misery for ourselves. But God did not create us for that. It's to live in the joy of the resurrection. That's precisely why you see me wearing a different color today. Ordinarily, the color of Lent is purple, reminding us of the justice of God. Today, it's rose. Why? Because we're getting ready to celebrate Easter in just a couple weeks. Again, going back to what Christ has done, it's the joy of the resurrection that our penances of Lent lead to something that is full. Rejoicing in the abundance of grace that God gives us now, the blessings that he wants to give us here and in eternity, looking forward to the eternal happiness that he promises in his presence. Now, I've been asked by people, what do you think judgment's going to be like? I don't know, it's never happened. But I can imagine it would be like this. Let's kind of think about it for a second. So let's put yourself on your deathbed. We use St. Ignatius of Loyola's meditation on death. So you're dying. Your body's leaving your soul. You can feel that separation, the two being torn apart, but yet you're being lifted up into the presence of God. And finally, after years of faith living in this world, you see the face of the Father. You see the face of Christ the Son. You feel the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. You can see heaven just beyond God. And you experience nothing but the peace and the joy that can come only from the presence of the Almighty. There's an overwhelming sense of happiness and peace in your own soul. You see the smile of God the Father. You see the open arms of the Son as you hear them say, "Welcome. Come, you blessed one, and enjoy what has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a wonderful experience that would be. Now, as Revelation tells us, only the perfect can enter the perfect. So what happens if we have been living in grace, persevering toward God, but our love for God, love for neighbor, is not as perfect as it should be? Same scenario. Presence of God, you see heaven, and God welcomes you, but says, not yet. Until your love is perfected, you have to remain on the periphery until that love has been purified. And that's what we call purgatory. That burning, that desire, that longing to be with what you've seen. You know that you're going to go there, but not yet, and you can't wait. Kind of like the starving person who's been on a diet for weeks, and you finally see that chocolate cake, and you just can't wait for it. Akin to that, so to speak. You know you're going to go, but not yet. But then what about those other souls? Those who know full well what they're doing. Consciously aware of what God desires, consciously aware of what the church teaches, they simply say, "I don't freaking care." And they might use another word. And they live their lives as they see fit. No regard for God, no regard for others. No love for God, no love for others. Complete self-absorption and love of self. The same thing happens to them. They die, they go up into the presence of God, and they think to themselves, wow, I made it after all. And then they see God the Father and God the Son bow their heads in sadness. And all of a sudden, that joy and that peace turns into fear and absolute misery and pain. They hear the cacophony of hell, the chaos, the madness. There is no joy, there is no peace, and there is no love at all. The absence of everything that is God. The eternal torment of the demons who remind you, you're here, but you don't have to be. One act of repentance, and you would have had what you lost. Imagine that pain forever and ever and ever. People prefer darkness to light. Their works are evil, and you reap what you sow. But that is not what God wants of you or of me. In the Old Testament, we're told about the exile of the Hebrew people. This is one thing that is burned into their national consciousness, and Jews still lament this today, the Babylonian exile. But it happened on their own. They did it to themselves. As everything happens, God has given us a free will. These were people who had been led out of Egypt, been given their own country, been given a temple, been given their own king. They had every blessing that God promised to them fulfilled. But then they got too used to it. Just like many of us today, they got so progressive that they decided that they didn't need God anymore. So like we do today, we're going to remove prayer from schools and from the public sphere to end up with shootings, rapes, and mass murders. So, you know, again, the choice is ours. In the presence of God is grace. Outside the presence of God is sin. And that's what they decided. And from the top on down, from the princes, that is the government, even from the clergy, their own religious leaders, as sometimes happens today, and the people, adding infidelity to infidelity. We're too sophisticated for God. We can do things our own way. And so they are practicing the abominations of the nations. We're going to act like everybody else does, even though God wants us to be different. They even polluted the Lord's temple, incorporating pagan practices into their worship, as sadly many people, many Christians do today, putting things of the world in place of the things of God in their worship, which God himself has consecrated. What happens? They're overrun by their enemies and they're exiled to a foreign land until they were taught their lesson, as Jeremiah said. So the question is for us, what's important is not when or how we're going to die, but how is it that we're going to live? How is it that we're going to live? And as we enter on these last couple weeks of Lent, for us to consider that. Are we living a life of faith in Christ, who gave himself up that we might live? Are we worshiping the one true God as he desires to be worshiped? Are we people of prayer, adoring God, devoted to God? Do we listen to God's word in prayer? Do we listen to God's word in scripture as he speaks to us through the church? And in doing so, understanding what God desires, obeying him and imitating Christ in everything. It's a life of hope. It's a life of faith. It's a life of love. You know, I don't know why it is, but in Cajun society, we tend to be pretty negative sometimes. It's always a negative that comes out first. We like to complain a lot. I don't know, we all do that, okay? But this is not the Christian way. God is desiring us to look for the good, to see the good. In other words, we're looking for him and seeking him in every person, every place, and every situation. If you seek God, you will find him. If you seek the negative or the evil, you'll find that too. What are you going to look for? Are you living in God's presence here and now and allowing God's presence to dwell in yourself? Seeking God in others. As I said, heaven is fulfillment, but heaven begins here and now. So what are we doing in our lives to bring a bit of heaven to earth and to lift up the earth to heaven by the people that we are and the things that we do? That can only happen with love. As St. Paul says, on everything we do, in all things, we put on love. For as St. John says, love covers a multitude of sins. Those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. Look at the blessings God has given us, giving our time, our talents, our treasure, Any kind of gift and blessing, God is asking us to use these for His honor and glory. After all, they come from Him to begin with. Whoever lives the truth must come to the light, that our works can be clearly seen as done in God, that is, done in love. But sometimes, as I said, we tend to look on the negative, and we don't want to share our time with others. We don't want to share our gifts with other people, be of assistance to others. God forbid that we share any kind of treasures that we possess, money or otherwise. And we all do that, myself as well. We do it, but we shouldn't. It's not right. We cannot live in a myopic, selfish attitude, hoarding things for ourselves. That only leads to miserable isolation when God calls us to something different. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. All this for the love of God. Love leads to life, and love leads to joy. May we live that life of faith, hope, and love, dying constantly to ourselves, but living always and forever in Christ, that we can hear those blessed words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."